Blog Talk Radio.
From Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, but just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during the Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the Best Hour, Tony Williamson.
All right. Good morning. Happy Saturday morning to you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, and mighty companions. Thank you to those of you who are listening in live streaming on the internet, as well as to you if you're listening on the archive on blogtalkradio.com. You can find our website at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. My name's Tony Williamson. Really glad to be with you this morning. We have been a busy week, but it looks like it's going to be a busy weekend too. So anyway, it's always always something happening in the mind of God, right? And our interpretations of that certainly keep us busy. But it's interesting that our busyness is really nothing more than an outpicturing of our very thoughts, what we're thinking. So we've been talking a lot about a reality lately, and we've been talking about our investment in reality. And yesterday we began reading in chapter 12, section 3, investment in reality. I've been studying too another teaching, but it's the same teaching, so I can't really say that. It's just another book that has been channeled by Raj, or I should say by Jesus, and continuing to teach us, or teach me at least, a little bit better understanding of all of these principles. But I'm a poor, at this point, I have a poor ability to articulate this, I guess, but there was something that I wanted to read with you this morning about our process. That is, what is it that we're doing, you know, that, because we're reacting to the outpicturing of our thoughts. So if we're thinking with a mind of chaos, if we're thinking with a mind of anything other than a mind that is at peace, that's resting in God, if we're seeing the outpicturing as cause, because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about level confusion. We're talking about cause and effect and how ego mind and the body's eyes, if you will, see events as cause, things that are happening in the world, that it's happening to us, and so we react to our perception of it, and in that reaction to our perception of it, the ego mind begins to judge, okay, and then it begins to really invest in that judgment, and as we talked about a little bit yesterday, we began discussing investment in reality. You know, we're making an investment in illusion. That's what we're doing. We're investing in illusion. And then we are trying to control it because we see chaos. We see things that are out of control. And what do we want to do? We need to fix it. It's out of control. So yeah, we need to fix it. So then we invest even more thinking in a very poor investment, because we're investing the power of the mind of Christ, which is what you are. You're investing the power of your mind into an illusion. A poor investment indeed, as we've learned. But it is a process that we subject ourselves to it. So this is kind of a summary that comes from this book called Dialogue on Awakening, Communication with the Christ. And this is by Tom Carpenter, who is channeling this work. But I just want to share this with you kind of as a talking point, okay? Once again, the process works like this. There is confusion in your mind. That's it. There's confusion in your mind. That's where it all starts. Okay? Because we have had an experience, okay? And let's not forget, all events are neutral. Whatever it is, look back on your day yesterday, look back on your week this week, look back on whatever you want to, and whoever you want to, in whatever circumstance you want to, and just ask yourself, okay, did you have an experience of something? Yes. We're experiencing things. And what comes out of those experiences is feeling, okay? We get a feeling. And that feeling, that experience, and that feeling that comes from that experience is coming from the process of evaluation, is it not? We have an experience, and there's no feeling. If every event is neutral, and we saw every event as neutral, what would be the feeling that we would get from every event? Nothing, right? Or we could say, on our own, I want to put it this way, on our own, because we don't have a thinking mind. Think about this. We do not have a thinking mind. God did not create a thinking mind. God is knowing. You made a thinking mind in an imitation of God. And we don't have to discuss that at the moment, but, I mean, that's the reality. God did not create you with a thinking mind. You made that up, playing God, if you will. And so here we are, right? And we see this event. Now, all events are neutral, and if we are not employing, if we're not activating, if we're not tuned into this make-believe thinking mind that we've made up out of nothing, what would be our feeling? Well, of ourselves, we have no thoughts, so what would we do? We would simply say, Father, what's the truth here? In other words, we would always be joining in mind with the voice for God. We would not be separate. We would always be in union, communion with the truth, your true self, your highest mind, if you will, or your real mind, capital S self that you are. And so the feeling that you would have would be one of what? Love. There is nothing else in reality. So what are you making your investment in? You're making your investment in love, right? Because you're making your investment in God. You're making your investment in listening to the voice for God, which is the voice for your true self, which is nothing more than your right mind that we talk about and call the Holy Spirit. in the teaching of A Course in Miracles. And that's what this chapter is about, the curriculum of the Holy Spirit. But if we're not doing that, okay, which is ultimately the only thing we can do, if we want to see things rightly, we would only feel love in every event. We would only feel love. And we would also experience joy, and we would also experience peace. And so our mind would be at rest. So what's the outpicturing now? What kind of outpicturing are we generating? We are outpicturing now a world of love and peace and joy. Hallelujah. Now that's manifesting. Let's say that's manifesting. So we're outpicturing a world of love and peace and joy. The world that you see changes when you change, guess what? Your attitude. There's a hell of a difference between an attitude of humility, gratitude, love, and peace, and joy versus an attitude of chaos, confusion, out of control, being out of control. But that's the only other choice, my friends. If we rely on our own stinking thinking and we're not pausing and being present and joining and communication with the Holy Spirit, practicing the Holy Instant, then we are left to our own insanity because we do not have a thinking mind. But we've made up this thinking mind, which is always wrong. And this made-up, made-believe, insane thinking mind is confused about everything. And so every time an event occurs, a movement in the mind of God, if you will, every time an event occurs, this thinking mind does what? It judges. It makes a judgment. Now, the judgment, we've already discovered, is always wrong. But that judgment is a judgment that things are out of control, that something is wrong. It's either really good or really bad. And if it's really good, it's something that we need to acquire, get and gather, or make more of, because this is what makes us happy. This is what makes the ego happy. So we have to manifest more goodness to be happy. We have to manifest more wealth. We have to protect our body. We have to manifest more friends because we want to keep our self-esteem up, right? We want to be looked at, you know, appropriately from our brothers and sisters. Our happiness depends on what they think of us, of course, and who's loving us today. Our happiness depends on all of these things that the world appears to offer when the world is nothing more than an outpicturing of our mind, our very thoughts. But when we are confused in mind, and the ego, make no mistake, is always confused, when we're listening to that voice, it's just looking for the very next, it is looking to control the very next moment of your experience. That's it, zero. And the only way it believes that it can accomplish this task is to keep you separate from all that is so that you can't be injured or violated, or taken advantage of. You must be separate to protect yourself. The dynamic of the ego that we talked about in the last chapter is absolutely at work here. And that whole dynamic is separation. So here's the process once again. Once again, the process works like this. There's confusion in your mind. Now, this is interpreted as being out of control, and this creates fear. And once your attention's been directed to those fears, they will manifest in your life. because they have become real in your mind. They manifest in your life because they become real in your mind. But this is huge that we get this, because anytime we're not practicing the holy instant, we're literally subjecting ourselves to the potential that the ego is going to step up and take control, or attempt to take control of the world, the very world. And look at our governments today. Are those not exactly what governments are attempting to do? They start out controlling their local, and then they control their national, and then there's obviously some people right now who are, you know, moving in the direction of literally wanting to control the entire world. Well, what's next? The universe? Let's control that. See, the ego can never, its deal is seek but do not find. But here's the point I want to make, and I think this is such a beautiful point that I want to get into our conversation this morning. And this is it. All right? This is it. It's not possible for you to experience anything in your physical life that is not encompassed, okay, within your thought patterns. You're out-picturing your thought patterns. You see chaos in your life? You see fear? You feel a desire to control the future? We're creating more chaos, and that creates more chaos, and that creates more chaos. It creates more fear, and the more we create this fear, it becomes a belief in our mind, and the more we believe it, guess what? The more we manifest. And we're moving further and further away from what we say we want, what we know we want, what we is our natural state of mind, which is what? Peace and love and joy. We are investing poorly, because we're investing in illusion. I read the first paragraph yesterday at the end of the episode, at the end of the broadcast yesterday. I'm going to read it because we didn't get, you know, we did talk about it, and I really enjoyed it, and you and I got a chance to do that. But I'm going to read it again, and then we're going to continue reading section 3 now, page 220, if you're following along. In the second edition of A Course in Miracles, chapter 12, The Investment in Reality. I once asked you, now this is Jesus Christ speaking directly to you. Now you might think there are some, and I'm one, at one point in my life I thought, wow, is that possible? Is that even possible? I had so much doubt. I had little faith, to be honest with you. And I had a lot of hope, but I had little faith, and I had a whole lot of doubt. Okay, and my ego was really working me, okay, saying, oh, that's not possible, you know, that Jesus is channeling through somebody else and that he's talking, you know, directly to you, whatever, okay. Well, here's the deal. Not only is it possible, it's the real deal, and that's what's going on, so get over it, okay. I'm just saying, you have doubts of whether or not this book is real, just spend some time with it. Your doubts will fade, and they will disappear, and they will be gone. But here we are, and Jesus is speaking directly to you, and he's saying to you, I once asked you to sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me. Of course, that's the story or the, you know, language that we find in the Bible, right? This is what I meant, he says. This is what I meant. If you have no investment in anything in this world, you can teach the poor where their treasure is. See, the poor are merely those who have invested wrongly, and they are poor indeed. And what's he referring to? He's referring to an investment in an idea that's an illusion. Chaos, fear, guilt, sin, sickness, death, and on and on and on. The poor are merely those who have invested wrongly, and they are poor indeed. because they're in need, it's given you then to help them since you are among them. And what we've discovered as well is that they're not, we're not literally among them, that we are one with them. So it's absolutely given to us to help them because we're helping who? Ourselves. There is nobody else out there but you, literally. We are all aspects of the same one mind. So consider how perfectly your lesson would be learned if you were unwilling to share their poverty. In other words, we began now to mutually, we got all these mutually agreed upon definitions, and we as Mighty Companions began to mutually disagree with all of these definitions that ego has made up in its confused, insane mind in its attempt to define, and not only define, but to control the very next moment of our experience. Got to get something done by a certain amount of time, case in point. Got to do this, got to do that. If we're late doing something, doesn't that imply that time itself is fleeting? And it's a, it, that's a, we're buying into the idea of lack of time. That even that, time itself, is we're going to run out. You see how crazy we get, the way we treat each other and teach each other, and we're reinforcing all these things when we teach it to other people. So how greatly would we learn, okay, how perfectly your lesson would be learned if you were unwilling to share their poverty, that is, their investment in an illusion. The poverty is lack, and there is but one lack since there is but one need. Thank God and hallelujah. This is the simplest course you'll ever take. It's the identification of one problem. And in the discovery of that one problem to everything that you've ever thought that you had as a problem, in discovering that one problem, we find the one solution. Thank God and hallelujah. God's plan for salvation is that you simply discover the problem and it ends up being you. we are our own problem. That's it. We're simply believing a false teacher, our made-up mind, thinking mind that we believe is what we are. But there's only one lack or problem, if you will, and there is only one need. And that's where we left off yesterday. So let's pick up there. Suppose a brother insists on you, on having you do something you think you do not want to do. Now, his very insistence should tell you that he believes salvation lies in this thing, in it, whatever this is. He really believes that you should do this, but you don't want to do it. Okay? But the reason that obviously that he wants us or she wants us to do whatever this is because they believe that, you know, salvation, in other words, a solution to a problem, a real problem, is in your participation in doing this, whatever it is. So if you insist then on refusing and experience a quick response of opposition, you know, from this other one, right? You are believing that your salvation lies in not doing it. If you insist on refusing and experience a quick response of opposition, and that's within yourself, by the way. It doesn't have to be from the other one. Remember, whatever's going on out there is an outpicturing of your own belief, right? Your own experience. The feeling that you have that you're buying into. So if you refuse it, if you insist on refusing and experience a quick response of opposition, you're believing that your salvation lies in not doing it. So here's two people, and both of them believing that salvation, their own personal freedom And salvation, right, the solution to their problem, are complete opposites. Remember the dynamic of the ego, right? And you're believing that your salvation lies in not doing it. You then are making the same mistake as this other one, as he is, and are making his error real then to both of you. Insistence means investment. And what you invest in is always related to your notion of salvation. The question is always twofold. First, what is to be saved? And second, how can it be saved? So what is to be saved and how can it be saved? Because if we're insisting on anything, that means we've got a big investment in it. And we believe that our salvation is invested or is found in whatever this investment is. So whenever you become angry with a brother or sister, whenever you become angry with a brother, for whatever reason, you're believing that the ego is to be saved. You're believing that the ego needs to be saved. The ego is what? Out of control. There's confusion in the mind. Continuing, to be saved by what? Attack. I've got to attack this other person. I got to get them in line. I got to get, you know what, I need to make them feel guilty. That's my best weapon. That's my best tool in my arsenal pack here. If I can get this other one to feel guilty because they've done anything out of alignment that's causing chaos in my world and I'm losing control, I need to get their ass straightened out. And the best way I got is, the only way I've got, I need to attack them. Now, if this other one attacks, you're agreeing with this belief. And if you attack, you're reinforcing it. If you're being attacked, you can make sure that the one who's attacking you believes that their salvation is found in their ego. And that ego needs to be honored, and it needs to be in control of whatever the hell is going on. But if you counterattack, if you attack, you're reinforcing. But you're not just reinforcing it. And that one, you're learning it yourself. You're teaching. Remember, the teacher is the learner. So whatever you're doing is you're the one that's learning it. So if you attack or counterattack, you're reinforcing that within yourself. Remember that those who attack are poor. Poor of what? They've traded the kingdom of heaven for the belief in illusion. The kingdom of heaven, all power, did we not just read last week, all power is of God? But we have invested the mind, our very mind, into an illusion that can ultimately give us nothing, absolutely nothing. Ultimately can give us absolutely nothing. I would say we're poor then, right? Absolutely. Because we've invested the power of the mind of Christ into nothing. If you will, we are an extension of the mind of God, which is all power is of God. So we're literally squandering the wealth that has been given us to be able to manifest anything instantaneously. Think about that. Hold your hand out and think about some delicious fruit, maybe your favorite, and imagine it right there in the palm of your hand. And there it is. Enjoy it now. because you've discovered the way of mastery. You've discovered the power, the very power of your mind, and you are not allowing your ego to further limit you with its insane ideas that you are limited in any way. You couldn't be. You are co-creator of all that exists. In that, where is lack? There's no gap. Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Remember that those who attack are poor. Their poverty asks for gifts, not for further improvement, or not for further impoverishment. Their poverty asks for gifts. And what's the gift? The gift is awakening. Their poverty is an appeal for you to help them by being the embodiment of love, to recognize that they have, that they're crying out for love. This one that's attacking you is crying out for the gift that you have of love. Give that. Because that's the only thing that's real. They're not asking for further impoverishment. They're not asking, literally, to be attacked, are they, really? Have a choice to no longer agree with the mutually agreed upon definitions of the world. We can disagree with the world, literally, because it's insane. And the world is not really asking for more impoverishment. You, who could help them, are surely acting destructively if you accept their poverty as yours. If you had not invested as they had, it would never occur to you to overlook their need. If you had not invested as they had, it would never occur to you to overlook their need. In other words, it would never occur to you to attack somebody else. All anger is an investment in poverty. And when we see this, you see, we start investing differently. We no longer do anything that we discover to be valueless, meaningless. So here's the very next paragraph, 4. He says, recognize what does not matter. Recognize what doesn't matter, and if your brothers ask you for something outrageous, do it, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It only matters how you do it. It does not matter what you're doing in a dream. Dreams have no effect. But everything matters in relationship to how you're doing it. Are you doing it out of an investment in poverty? Fear is an investment in poverty. Are you doing it out of fear? Or are you doing it out of love? Are you doing it because you just realize that any resistance is buying into or investing into poverty, an idea of the illusion being real? What difference would it make? Do it because it does not matter. Refuse, and your opposition establishes that it does matter to you. It is only you, therefore, who have made the request outrageous. And every request of a brother is for you. Every request of a brother is for you. Because nothing is happening to you. You have called forth that experience for yourself. They're playing their role. You are the actor, the director, the producer, and the projector of the entire dreamscape, and every player in the dream is aligning perfectly with what you have asked. You are already the perfect manifester, you see. It's not about learning how to manifest. You've always done that perfectly. It's not within your power to not manifest. Think about that. Not what you do, it's how you do it. It is only you, therefore. It is only you who have made the request outrageous, and every request of a brother is for you. Why would you insist in denying him? You're the one that asked him, literally. You're the one that set it all up. You're the one that's manifesting the very thing that you're experiencing. For to do this, that is to deny him what he's insisting on, or, you know, what they're asking, what their request is, for to deny that is to, for to do so is to deny yourself and impoverish both of you. Because what's the request? The only thing anybody's ever requesting of you is what? What are they always appealing for? Love. They're either expressing love or crying out for love. Hello? And what are you denying them? Love, no matter what it looks like, no matter what form it takes. You've had ample experiences just this week. Today's Saturday, the last day of the month. You've had ample experiences this week. Look back and see when situations were occurring where it looked to you like that somebody was asking you to do something and you just, oh, I'm not going to do it because that's taking advantage of me. That's not fair. It's not balanced. It's not blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Guys, this is getting right down to the nitty-gritty right here. It really is. It's getting right down to it because we have to look at everything that people are requesting of us and saying, what? I'm the one that set it up. I have to take responsibility for every experience, not just part of them, not just the ones that I like. Ah, this person is taking advantage of me. This person is doing exactly what you've asked them to do. They're asking for love. And you've asked them to show you this example of need so that you can give it, so you can fulfill it, you can give the gift. That is your gift, you know, to be love. And in this place of turning to the Holy Spirit, what's the truth here? What's really going on? What's the God's honest truth? What's going on? And this answer comes back to forgive this one and love this one and be the embodiment of love and embrace this one and be the Christ in this situation. Be Christ that you are. And the next thing we know, we're manifesting the sweetest fruit in an instant. And peace and love and joy are part of every experience. Not just some over here, some over there. And who are you giving this gift to? Yourself. just you. Salvation, this is the next sentence in paragraph 5. Salvation, I want to make sure I didn't, yeah, let me back up. Why would you insist on denying him? For to do so is to deny yourself and impoverish both. If he's asking for salvation, he is asking for salvation as you are. Poverty is of the ego and never of God. No outrageous, quote-unquote, request can be made of one who recognizes what is valuable and wants to accept nothing else. The only thing that's valuable, my friends, is love, acceptance, and the willingness to accept love in all forms, because when somebody is attacking you, it is a cry for love. It's still a form of love, and they feel a need that you have the gift to give. How do you know you have it? By giving it. How can you have the experience of it? By giving it. How can you keep it? By giving it. It's a beautiful thing. And all power on heaven and on earth is of God, and you are God's firstborn child. And all power is given you. Well, hell yes, you're the perfect manifester. You've always been manifesting exactly within the mind of God, with all the power of the mind of God. Have manifested universes. And now we believe that we have to struggle to manifest a couple of coins in the bank. I don't think so. I'm just not going to agree with it anymore. It's bullshit. The very next sentence in paragraph 5, and we'll stop here. Salvation is for the mind, and is attained through peace. We will pick up there tomorrow. We've been talking about forgiveness, and yesterday's lesson was forgiveness ends this way. Forgiveness offers everything I want, and today I have accepted this is true. Today I have received the gifts of God. If someone is requesting something of you that even if it's outrageous and you just give it, do it, you fulfill their gift, whatever it may be, with the extension of love, that doesn't mean you're a doormat. That doesn't mean that you allow people to walk all over you. You see the need for love and you give love. You do not counterattack. You don't reinforce poverty. And in this act of giving, you are forgiving yourself, okay? Because you're the one that called forth the experience. And you can recognize that this is nothing more than an outpicturing of a mind that was chaotic at one point, and this is the shadow of former thinking, literally manifesting now. But today our lesson says, I thank my Father for his gifts, because those gifts are the truth. That is, you are the truth. And that gift is life. And that gift is knowing. And that gift is love and peace and joy. I thank my Father for his gifts to me. Today, let us be thankful. We've come to gentler pathways now. And to smoother roads. There's no thought of turning back and no implacable resistance to the truth. A bit of wavering remains, yes, maybe some, a bit of wavering remains, some small objections and maybe a little hesitance, but you can well be grateful for your gains, which are far greater than you even realize. So a day devoted now to gratitude will add the benefit of some insight into the real extent of all the gains which have been made, the gifts you have received. Be glad today. In loving thankfulness, your Father has not left you to yourself, nor let you wander in the dark alone. Be grateful. He has saved you from the self you thought that you made to take the place of Him and His creation. So give Him thanks today. Give Him thanks. Give thanks that He has not abandoned you and that His love forever will remain shining on you, forever, without change. Give thanks as well that you're changeless, for the Son He loves is changeless as Himself. Be grateful you're saved. Be glad you have a function in salvation to fulfill. Be thankful that your value far transcends your meager gifts and petty judgments of the one whom God established as His Son. Today, in gratitude, we lift our hearts above despair and raise our thankful eyes, no longer looking downward to the dust. We sing the song of thankfulness today in honor of the self, the true self, that God has willed to be our true identity in Him. Today we smile on everyone we see and walk with lightened footsteps as we go to do what is already appointed us to do. We do not go alone, and we give thanks. We give thanks that in our solitude, a friend, a brother, a guide, a teacher, a comforter, the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, that this friend has come to speak the saving words of God to us. And thanks to you. And thanks to you for listening to Him. His word is soundless if it be not heard. In thanking Him, the thanks are yours as well. An unheard message will not save the world, however mighty be the voice that speaks, however loving may the message be. Thanks be to you who heard, for you become the messenger who brings His voice with you now and lets it, the voice for God, and lets it echo round and round the world. Receive the thanks of God today as you give thanks to Him. For He would offer you the thanks you gave and that you give, since He receives your gifts in loving gratitude and gives them back a thousand and a thousand, 100,000 more than they were given. He will bless your gifts by sharing them with you, and so they grow in power and in strength until they fill the world with gladness and with gratitude. Receive His thanks and offer yours to Him for 15 minutes, just twice today. I thank my Father for His gifts to me. Just 15 minutes twice today, and you will recognize to whom you offer thanks and whom He thanks as you are thanking Him. This holy half an hour given Him will be returned to you in terms of years for every second, power to save the world, eons more quickly for your thanks to Him. Receive His thanks. And you will understand how lovingly He holds you in His mind and how deep and limitless He cares for you. How perfect is His gratitude to you. Remember hourly today to think of Him and give Him thanks for everything that He has given, that He gave His Son, that He might rise above the world, remembering His Father and His true self. This is such a wonderfully beautiful lesson of gratitude. And we are 123 days into this year, and we have come far. And I know it seems like there's so much yet to do, and we're not yet awake, and we haven't, you know, there's, why am I still struggling, and why am I not enlightened, and blah, 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 and all this shit. And the ego wants us to believe that there is a process. But our purpose is to be that one. Not to wait until it dawns on you to be that one, because it has dawned on you to be that one right this now. There are no accidents. You're hearing this message today because you've called it forth. You are only experiencing what you are calling forth. You are the perfect manifester. And this experience is the perfect example of what you have brought into your experience so that you can feel it. It is an event that you can experience with the clarity of the mind of God, the mind of Christ as the firstborn child in which God is well pleased. You are that one. And I want to honor you for being my salvation. But join with me in a moment of prayer, my brothers and sisters. Father, your way is what I choose today. So where your way would lead me, do I choose to go now? What it would have me do, I choose to do. Your way is certain. And the end is secure. The memory of you awaits me there. And all my sorrows end in your remembrance, which you promised to your son, who thought mistakenly that he had wandered from the sure protection of your loving arms. Father, we are so thankful for you today. We are so in gratitude and with humility and with eagerness and with innocence. We listen for your voice today so that we can hear the word of love. And let this word infill our mind and our hearts and every cell of our body with peace and love and joy. In your name we pray, Father. Amen. I love you, my brothers and sisters, and this has been a very exciting experience for me today, and I'm filled at this moment. I am filled with the experience and the feeling of peace and love and joy. And I feel that I can embrace you, literally, that I'm hugging you and embracing you and loving you, and I feel your love. And I know that we are joined and that there are no mistakes in what God has joined. And I thank God for you. Have a beautiful, fun day. Be joy. Don't forget to laugh. Have fun. And love the world and give your gift. That is your only function. And if somebody asks you to do something outrageous today, you know, give the gift that you always have given in reality. God bless.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y @truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.